Hello and welcome to the First Issue Club. We're your weekly comic book podcast where, just like Sue Storm, we love a good read. Here's some additional context for you in case that intro didn't do enough. We're called the First Issue Club. We cover mostly first issues of comic book series because it's a great onboarding point to welcome you to our favorite hobby, comic books. You know, they're made of paper, but you can read them digitally. We're huge fans of paper, and we love tech and tablets and LCD to LED screens.
Don't get us started.
But what we really love is what's on them bad boys.
What?
The stuff on the page. The things on the screen.
The stuff on the page.
That's what really excites us. And we can't wait to share that with you. We've got some comics we're going to talk about. Some great new onboarding points for you to jump in to your reading experience.
Mm-hmm.
Get in them pages. Get between them pages.
Get between those pages.
Bad boy. Hey, you're filthy, but
yeah.
I want to do it too. Yeah. I want to crack those pages.
Get between those pages.
and then, well, first we're going to talk about comic book news, and we've got a lot of stuff to cover. There's a lot of announcements. In the industry, we have what we call announcements.
Announcements.
And you might
every
know
every morning, the comic book bell is rung.
You might know these
and
in other hobbies as news,
as
but
news.
In comics, we call them announcements.
We call them hubbubs.
And so we're going to talk about some of those announcements, and then we're going to talk about...
what's for lunch?
We've got Free Comic Book Day coming up soon, so we're going to do a quick... I picked like 10 or so of the most exciting Free Comic Book Day books to look out for. So we'll do that as well. But why don't we start by introducing ourselves?
I'm Greg.
I'm Vargas.
And I'm Mike D.
And together we make FIC.
Wow. It kind of rhymes a little bit
when
we end with Mike D.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Eight years, and we just did that for the first time.
Unbelievable. This is the magic that happens when you get three middle-aged guys in a room together.
Yeah, late at night to talk about picture books. Magic happens.
I had, like, a horrible, like, Vietnam flashback just now when Mike D said, we're big fans of paper. Because I had, like, one of those, like, moment of death moments where you have, like, realization, you know, coming to realization.
Yeah.
It's like...
We're all just paper.
Oh, my God. My basement is just filled with paper.
Flammable.
So much
paper.
Paper.
Yeah.
It's all just trash.
Toes to tip paper.
It's not trash. It's treasure.
It's treasure.
It's treasure. But will my son think that it's treasure?
If he sells it.
You know what I heard recently?
Oh, was it a song?
That Marie Kondo...
Yes.
Famous.
Collects comic books.
Famous Does It Bring You Joy?
Declutterer.
Declutterer. Has recently backed off of her, like, entire mantra. That it's like, she had a kid.
Yeah.
And,
so she wrecked a ton of lives.
And got a lot, and got a little older, and was like, yeah, there's some shit you just got.
She goes, you know what? I kind of like my shit. I kind of like my piles of nothing.
Yeah. It is a great mantra for some people during a certain stage of life. Is it a great mantra for everybody? Like, no.
It's a good way to start getting rid of stuff.
Yeah,
like, if you find yourself...
If you need to get rid of shit.
If you find yourself in a house that's unlivable because of the stuff around you, saying, does this bring me joy, is a great way to start... that process.
I think, listen, our bodies shed themselves and we are a new person every 7 years. Maybe do the same with the stuff in your house as well. You know, like, when's the last time I opened this box? 7 years. Toss it. When's the last time I opened this book? 7 years. Toss it.
First Issue Club, your premier downsizing podcast. If you're looking to get into a retirement home, single level floor plan, we're the place you come for tips on how to get there. But today we're going to lean into comics a little more than usual.
Yeah.
And talk some comic book news. Greg, you had a handful of things that you were excited about. Let's start there.
Yeah. So Jason Aaron.
Yep.
Bon vivant. troubadour of comic books. Uh-huh. It just got announced he is doing another book at Marvel Comics. He's doing the new Namor series. He had just done his Scrooge McDuck one shot. People thought he'd be at IDW exclusively doing the TMNT stuff. So he's kind of shown everyone that he's a man of many talents and beholden to no one. And so he is going to be premiering a new book out of Marvel.
Namor is one of those interesting characters to me, wherein he's one of the OGs. He's been around.
He's the OG.
Forever.
Yeah.
And if I was like, I'm going to list Marvel characters, mm-hmm. he's near the top of my list of like names I'm going to rattle off.
Sure.
But I also own maybe out of like the 10,000 comics I own.
Yeah.
I probably have five Namor comics.
Yeah.
And like, I don't care about his like history, his lore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is about that character that's just kind of like stayed in the zeitgeist, but like never got me stoked. Do you guys have that same experience with him?
He makes a better additional character to a story instead of his own leader of a book.
Yeah. Like, I loved his addition into the Black Panther movie. That was really cool.
Yeah. Like he's a great Fantastic Four nuisance.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I love him so much, is because like, I don't need to know that much about him as a character, as like, he's this character that is like very staunch on his beliefs and like very kind of unbreakable on things. And he's like this force that the Fantastic Four needs to deal with.
Generally, as a genre, do you like stuff that's under the sea?
No.
Same.
Not a seaman.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
I love Namor.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. House divided.
Sleeping in the wings, waiting for the hot take.
Sleeping in the feet wings.
So I love that the stuff they're currently doing with him, where it kind of plays on his like PTSD that he gained as a defender during World War II.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is playing into his role as a villain.
Invader.
Invaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Defenders.
Yes, an invader. You're right. Not a defender. Well, I guess he was a defender.
He was a defender for a minute.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he as an everything. Invader.
World War II was invaders.
Yeah. He was Mr. Sue Storm for a little bit, so it's fine.
Yep. I think there's a lot of cool stuff they're doing with him currently, and I like to see that he's, like, out for his own, not necessarily his own good, but, like, the good of the people that he supports.
Yeah.
So, like,
very dynamic character in that way.
Kind of like a T'Challa character of like protecting Wakanda. He wants to protect
the sea.
The sea.
Yeah.
But I think Namor's.
And what's all under it.
Interesting in a way because of his anti-hero willing to do anything for his people.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. He doesn't have the same altruism that a lot of other Marvel characters have.
Yeah. He will not go out of his way to help land.
All that being said, I kind of don't care about Namor very much.
That's fine.
Next topic. Was that all you had?
No.
You were like, dude, much news this week.
What else happened this week?
Alien versus Avengers.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I blanked on it. I got so hooked up on like making fun of Namor. So recently got announced that there is a new book coming out, Aliens, the 20th Century Property, The Avengers, written by Jonathan Hickman, illustrated by Asad Ribic.
Two titans in comics.
We called this from the fucking beginning, by the way.
I don't remember this.
When Marvel first got Alien Comics, Vargas and I were just like, they're going to do a crossover.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay. And here we are, not 2 years later, patting ourselves on the back. We did it.
We did it, folks.
We called it. I'm conflicted. But I'm also excited. I think it's kind of cool to like have Marvel officially do kind of what we all do as kids in those sandboxes, like have these two kind of entities fight one another. I don't think they're going to go as far as we would like them to go with like the battles but who knows?
Dude, if they give Hickman the free will to do the same stuff that like Robert Kirkman did with Marvel Zombies,
mm-hmm.
And if they're like, here's a clean slate, a new universe, to have the aliens invade Earth and fight the Avengers, like, we could be looking at a new, like, Marvel Zombies.
Truly. You bring up a good point of just, like, will this be in continuity? Will this be, like, an Elseworlds thing?
If it's in continuity, I'm going to be mad.
Opposite.
Oh!
You want it to be, like, 616?
I don't care about this at all if it's not in continuity.
Oh.
Really?
There's just, like, so much trash throwaway crossover stuff that it's to the point where it's just like, okay, they wanted to mash these two things together. It lasts for a few issues and then it's done. All of it feels like a cash grab to me. I think Aliens would be really interesting as like a kind of brood replacement in X-Men, Marvel, 616 at large. Like, even if they lose the license for it at some point and can't use it anymore, I think at least like you did some like rad stuff in the mainline comics. Okay. I don't know.
Interesting take.
I would love that too. I would love to see.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd have the gumption to do it.
Yeah.
How do you think?
Well, the thing is too, if you lose the license, then it becomes harder to reprint your older issues too.
They won't, because Disney owns Fox now.
So that stuff's never going to get sold ever?
There's no way. Nobody's, I mean, no.
Yeah, okay.
Who's going to be like, oh, Disney, you're in financial straits? Sell us Fox.
Who knows? They can make some bad investments.
Someone could make a crazy offer for Aliens.
One bad day at the ponies, and I own Donald Duck.
You're right.
That's how it happens. I got it off their Whatnot sale. We got Bob Iger over there.
A year before he goes
into
public domain.
What I got for Donald Duck? What I got for Donald Duck? Fire, Donald Duck here.
Fire sale at that point.
I got Greg Licktie 69/420 for $5. Going once, going twice. I think it'd be cool if, like, I don't know what the story is going to be. If, like, aliens come to Earth and the Avengers have to battle them or vice versa. I think it'd be cool to, like, the Avengers have to investigate an old, what are those big things that the Avengers Tower was made out of? Just this little
one. Oh, the Celestial.
Yeah, like an old Celestial. They have to go like investigate the corpse or whatever, and there's aliens inside of it or something.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, like, that's a great idea.
I think it has a lot of legs to be something really, really cool. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is why I wanted to bring it up. The other piece of news I had was Venom War.
Yeah.
Happening this summer. It's father versus son. Symbiote versus symbiote.
Yep. All the symbiotes.
Yep. Every one of them. Couple of new ones, maybe?
God, I hope not. We just trimmed that tree, you know?
Yeah, but just like a tree, it will grow new branches.
It's true.
I really do appreciate that, if you don't know what we're talking about, symbiote is like the alien costume that Venom.
If you don't know what it is, this is not.
I don't know. You're listening to a comic book podcast, but here's our whole thing. We start the whole show. We say we're First Issue Club. We say we're here to onboard you into new stories and things.
Right.
And then we have this conversation you can't follow for 40 minutes. In any case, I appreciate that. So Black Widow in the comic books now has one of these like black alien costumes.
Yeah.
And has kept it for almost, a year now?
About a year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that rules. The fact that they've not done that is just like a quick throwaway stunt thing. Like, her character name is Black Widow. She kind of like has never really existed within the Spider-Man family of characters, but this pulls her in as like one of the kind of like spider totem kind of people that they do in Spider-Verse. So I love that about it.
I like that they're bringing it into other books, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Black Widow Hawkeye.
Black Widow Hawkeye is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is playing into that.
Hawkeye's just killing people for fun.
No, Black Widow is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
All right. So you guys are going to pick up this Venom event?
No. I'm just,
no,
it's
you're
cool.
Just saying it's going to happen.
I probably will. I'm assuming that it's going to run through the mainline Venom book, which I am currently reading.
Same.
So
it's just, for me, it was nice to see some payoff of all the hard work in the past, like 3 or 4 years that the Venom franchise has gone through.
Yeah.
To do a big come up
and to have like
Dylan
a big, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to have probably Eddie Brock be brought back into the lead Venom role.
Yep.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
There's no way Null can come back, right? He's donezo.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of ways a lot of dudes can come back in funny books.
There you go. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Dylan character, because he may lose all of his powers and he may just be like just slowly fade into nothingness, as some characters are wont to do.
For how long that character's now been around, it would be weird for Dylan to just go away.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that they're going to make Eddie Brock Venom proper, maybe no longer a King in Black, and then Dylan becomes a non-Venom symbiote sort of character.
Do you guys want to hear my prediction?
Yeah.
Ooh, here we go, prediction time.
I think you're right. Eddie's not going to be a King in Black anymore. He's going to lose that connection to all the other symbiotes somehow and become Venom proper like we knew him.
Venom Prime.
I think Dylan Brock...
the VP.
VP.
Promoted to VP.
VP, baby.
He's not even the president of his own character. I think Dylan Brock's going to become Carnage.
So he's going to be villain.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think he's going to turn heel and become... Because Carnage exists still, but Cletus Cassidy's body is not in that symbiote.
Yeah, its consciousness is in him or something like that, right?
Well, yeah, the symbiote just kind of exists floating around right now. So I think that's what they'll do. They'll turn Dylan Brock into like a true villain, and my guess is they'll do Carnage.
Okay.
Staying on Spider-Man-ish universe stuff, did you guys see the Ultimate Spider-Man 4 promo?
No.
So in that, if you haven't been following Ultimate Spider-Man, a ton of buzz, and those comics are selling on the secondary market for a lot of money because it's telling like an alternative story of Peter Parker's life. And then every one of these issues introduces more popular Spider-Man characters. So in the preview, Peter has just met Harry Osborn, and he's going out to dinner with MJ and Peter, and his wife's about to show up, and he's like, oh, here's my wife. And then they don't show you, and she's like, hi, everyone, and they don't show the next panel. And
is it Gwen?
Well, I think it's probably Gwen. They kind of make a deal of it where like Peter and MJ are like looking at her like, ugh. Like they would have no reason to have like a big reaction.
Because it's Aunt May.
Maybe unless this is like
she's dead. Thank you very much.
Maybe unless it's like a famous person. It's kind of weird that they were
Taylor Swift.
Well,
it's Taylor Swift.
She's now canon.
She's showing up everywhere.
So I would suspect it's Gwen Stacy or Felicia Hardy.
The Lizard.
Oh yeah, he's dating Kurt Connors.
It's Doc Ock in drag.
But he's still got the tentacles.
But then the tentacles also have wigs and makeup on.
Can I say, if you live in Portland, I think it's Portland.
What's up?
You're lucky because there is an X-Men drag show that's happening sometime in the next month. And Kevin Wada did the poster for it. Cena Grace did the poster for it last year.
Whoa, cool.
And they're really rad looking, and the promo stuff for it looks awesome. I'm like, shit, if that was in Kansas City, I'd be all the fuck over
it. Oh, yeah.
That sounds so fucking cool.
We would help be like sponsor it.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds sick. Hell yeah.
Yep. So go to that if you're in...
I can be extra horny for Cyclops.
Oregon.
Yeah, even more horny. Isn't like Portland known for like having the most strip clubs per square footage than like Atlanta or something? Like they're like now known for like having a lot of strip clubs.
Yeah. I would not have guessed Portland.
Yeah.
They are to strip clubs as we are to churches?
It was as we are to barbecue places.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Churches.
Springfield is churches. Yeah.
Banks.
Banks, yeah.
Any other news?
Biker
Biker Mice from Mars
is announced, which is another cartoon show that's getting a comic book. And this is kind of a thing that I wanted to talk about when Transformers was popping off and everyone was just like, oh man, I'm so excited. And then G.I. Joe was going off. I had this note and this opinion on the show, and it was met with contempt that we are now going to be seeing a whole dose of nostalgia being flooded into the market. And boy, oh boy, it does not feel good to be right. Because
yeah, I'm with you there.
It's like, we don't need a biker. What the fuck is the name of the book?
Biker Mice from Mars.
Biker Mice from Mars. We don't, like, it's just another attempt, because we have, like, Thundercats and, like, all these other franchises just being, like, inundated into the...
I mean, they're people are just going to start bringing back all those Turtles clones from the 90s.
Yeah.
SWAT Cats, yeah. Street Sharks, what was the Aardvark's book or whatever?
The Aardvark's book?
Yeah, or
Arthur?
Like... No.
Isn't he an Aardvark?
Yes, he is. But there was another, like, the Radical Hedgehog.
Oh, those things,
Kung Fu Hamsters or whatever. Yeah. Like, all that stuff is, you're right, is totally going to start coming back.
There's especially too much of it.
Yeah. Especially with the relaunch of Turtles coming up.
It's hard to suss out what's good and interesting, because there's just so much of it thrown at the wall. Anytime there's a rebirth of something from the 80s or 90s, it just feels like it's to cash a quick check. And sometimes the stuff ends up being really good, mm-hmm. but it's so hard to find it wading through the very cash grabby stuff mm-hmm. that all of it becomes eye rolling, which is unfortunate. This kind of happened with when DC did all of those kind of Hanna-Barbera comics.
Right. Yeah, the Future Quest stuff.
They released a million of them at once, mm-hmm. and it was just like, okay, Scooby-Doo comic, Johnny Quest comic, whatever else. And
I just bought a James Tynion Green Lantern Space Ghost comic.
Yeah. And then you read them, and they're like, a lot of them were fantastic. So I mean, yeah. Mark Russell wrote a Snagglepuss one.
Oh, man, that so good.
We loved. I loved the Jetsons one that Jimmy Palmiotti wrote. Yeah. Like, there were a lot of really fun ones. But it was just
Mark Russell also did the Flintstones?
It was just too much all at once.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that one.
Tom King wrote Batman Elmer Fudd. Like,
a jarring tale of PTSD and Wabbit season.
All right, something coming back that I'm excited about.
That gum?
What?
That gum you liked is coming back in style?
The gum I liked? I don't know what that's a reference to.
It's a Twin Peaks TV show
reference. Oh, okay. Nice House on the Lake is getting a sequel. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
Nice House by the Sea.
House by the Sea, yeah. What I
love keeping the theme?
It sounds like it's going back to kind of like when Nice House on the Lake started, but it's a different group of people somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that they're kind of complicit in this. Like, they've been told, hey, world's going to end, whether you're along for the ride or not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be one of the, like, last soul surviving people? Because we need someone representative of, like, science, someone representative of the arts,
mm-hmm.
and save some of, like, humanity's best. So they're the ones who are aware and kind of opted in, whereas the other group were, what was the character's name? Max. Max's, like, friends
mm-hmm.
that he just felt sentimental attachments to and wanted to keep them around somewhere as a secret.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, I'm really excited to see what happens with that book, because Nice House on the Lake was fantastic. We don't have to even say that. James Tynion wrote it. He's a modern-day rock star in comics.
A bon vivant, if you will.
A bon vivant. We're just passing that title
from creator to creator.
From creator to creator. Who is today's bon vivant? We're even using that anywhere close to how it's meant to be used.
That's so fun to say.
Okay, can I do my free comic book day thing real
quick?
I'll say this episode might be a little longer than typical. We're juicing the engine,
if you will.
Because we're going to be at C2E2 next week. So we did an extra long Patreon, and this one might trickle over an hour.
Yeah.
Too.
You're welcome.
But since we're not going to be here next week to kind of talk about the hype of Free Comic Book Day, I wanted to make like a kind of like top 10-ish, 11-ish list to say like what I'm going to be looking out for, and maybe that'll help some people pick their stuff out. So one of the books is Worlds of James Tynion, which is a sampling of his Boom books. It comes out on Boom, and then it teases some upcoming storylines. So that's always fun. You know, a lot of times on Free Comic Book Day, they print so many of these things that if you're thinking about like value, you know, it might not be worth a lot of money. But if you're thinking like, I'm a fan of Tynion's work, and this might have a first appearance of a character that ends up being crucial or important to a storyline that you already like, you might get a little bit of that because it is teasing some new stuff.
When's the last time you saw a Free Comic Book Day book pop off?
Well, the thing is, every year there's hype for a few of them.
Yeah,
and everyone wants to get their hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you mean like they're selling for a lot of money on the aftermarket, it's like Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. It just seems like we go through this like, every year.
15 years ago.
Well, yeah. Wasn't
Dogs was one.
Stray Dogs, that Free Comic Book Day book isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
It came out after Stray Dogs was already popular.
Right.
So they made a lot of those.
The Marvel Now stuff popped off, where it was like the first preview of that Silver Surfer book and first like Kamala Khan.
Oh,
that,
okay.
That era. A couple of those popped
up. It just seemed like, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, Free Comic Book Day was like a big deal for like collectors of just like, I gotta get in here and get this.
Well, I think people were always like, what's the next Umbrella Academy gonna be?
Sure, yeah.
And there just hasn't been that yet.
Yeah, it's true.
DC Comics Mad Magazine, I thought was kind of fun sounding.
Oh.
So it's like a typical Mad Magazine shenanigans, but with a lot of DC heroes.
Okay, cool.
So that should be fun.
Yeah.
DC's Prelude to Absolute Power. This is one I'm absolutely picking up. So,
good pun. Good word pun.
It's not a pun. It's just the same word again. Does that qualify as a pun?
No.
Yeah.
Turn of phrase?
Yeah. Double.
A bit.
A bit?
It's a bit.
Double absolutes. Not intentional. That's DC's summer event. It's got kind of like
summer event? Absolute Power is going to be like their new Ultimate line.
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it was a summer event.
The way I read it was like the absolute DC stuff is like them doing a take on like the Marvel's Ultimates.
Oh, maybe that's not Absolute Power then. What's the summer event called? You know,
no,
like
Absolute Power is their event.
Okay. I'm guess I'm mistaken.
So whatever the thing is that's like the, you know, fail safe and Amanda Waller and maybe like Brainiac or
like Suicide Squad stuff,
somebody like there's like a trinity
of
bad guys and the Justice League, I think specific, since it's a trinity of bad guys theme, I think we're gonna have like a trinity of
because there's a thing called Superman, Absolute Wonder Woman, DC and, coming out, which is them trying to do the ultimate line like Marvel's doing.
Maybe that spins out of
Maybe it spins out of Absolute Power. Yeah, could be. So apologies if I got the titles wrong. So apologies all around. Don't write us on Twitter about it.
We're all sorry.
Yeah. All right, we covered it.
IDW has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles free comic book that has a new vigilante looking to carry on their tradition set by the Turtles. So that could be fun, a new hero potentially.
Yeah.
In the TMNT universe. So,
I hope it's a turtle.
And Junie Ba is writing that one, who often does double duty illustration and writing. Yeah. Creator of Monkey Meat. We mentioned this earlier. Johnny Quest.
So Ooh, jazzed about Johnny
the,
Quest.
It's written by Joe Casey.
What publisher?
I don't know what publisher. Is it Dynamite?
Dynamite, okay.
And Chris Samnee's doing the cover for it.
God
so
damn.
That's definitely a fun
fucking love Johnny Quest.
Fun one to pick up. So the Energon universe, There's three new stories for Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Void Rivals. Okay. So if you're picking up those books, got to get this one.
Yeah.
There's an Ultimate Universe / Spider-Man free comic book day. Mm-hmm. One of the confusing things Marvel does with their free comic book days is they jam two titles into a single issue. So this one is going to have a new hero debut in Marvel's new Ultimate Universe.
It's the turtle from the Ninja Turtles book.
And then in Amazing Spider-Man, a little bit of a spoiler for issue 50. If you haven't seen the news yet, skip ahead 15 seconds. The Goblin returns. We don't necessarily have an idea of that person's identity yet, but we know they're coming back in ASM 50.
Uncle
and
Ben.
You're going to get...
Oh, come on, baby. Do it. Finally.
You're
going to
get that teased in this free comic book day issue before that actually happens.
Please let it be Bonesaw.
Bloodhunt X-Men is the other mashup. That's Marvel's summer event. Can we all agree on that summer event?
Yes, we can agree
least?
On that summer event.
The world, define summer. Okay,
the world is a vampire.
And then we're seeing some of like the first post-Krakoan era stuff in this too, because it's an X-Men title and it's going to have like a Jubilee story.
Oh, hell yeah.
That kind of takes place in the timeline of everything that's already come out. So we should be dealing with the repercussions. Boombox has a 10th anniversary book that has a look at a new series. I thought maybe that was worth mentioning. It's kind of like a more of a celebration of... the last 10 years, but I don't know. If the new series they tease pops off, that might be one worth just grabbing if you don't have a limit at the free comic book day. There's a Gatchaman. Do you know anything about this like superhero team? They're like this anime superhero team with the bird helmets.
Yeah.
So they're going to have an ongoing series at Mad Cave. And this has a Chris Samnee cover.
God damn
and it's got stories by Cullen Bunn, Steve Orlando, and Tommy Lee Edwards. So this is one I would have skipped over unless I read the bio of all these people.
And so then, Mad Cave has Dick Tracy.
Yeah, new Dick Tracy book coming out next week.
Next week? Whoa.
There's a Dick Tracy book coming out next week, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought it was a summer, but...
Well, define
I'm
summer.
Sorry.
Yeah, define summer, my guy. And then the last one was there's a Pete Wentz comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I.
Fall Out Boy? Pete Wentz?
Yeah. Is he Fall Out Boy? He's in one of those like pop punk bands. Sorry if pop punk band is derivative.
No, it's not. It's
it might be
accurate.
Some subcategory of pop punk.
Northeastern pop punk.
He's
emo core.
I normally pass up on these free comic book day books that are like. Here's an issue that's a lead into a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things promoting a graphic novel that's about to come out. And the story deals with suicide. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a trigger warning there. I don't know. When I read the synopsis, let me tell you the synopsis and you kind of be the judge of whether this sounds tasteful or not to you. I don't know. This is why I question bringing it up, but it could be really interesting.
Go for it.
So it's about a 16-year-old who wants to kill themselves and comes up with this like the perfect playlist, the perfect situation, the perfect item to do that with. To like go out in a big way. And the item that the knife they purchase to kill themselves with is hexed. And it ends up giving her immortality instead of killing her.
Mm.
And I read that synopsis and said, this sounds a bit distasteful to me. But he's a popular, like a lot of times these kind of, musicians, rock stars doing comic books become things in the secondary market and they're buzzworthy because they've already got a built-in fan base. I don't know if it's something you want to pick up or not. I thought I'd at least mention it, but I also like stuff that deals with suicide, but in a fun way, especially when you're talking about teenagers. It just didn't
I get the idea.
I have a bad taste in my mouth.
Of just like, it's kind of like the monkey paw situation of just like, yes, the thing you really want is the thing you're not going to get.
Yeah.
And I can, I would have to read the story because it's just like the idea of just like, you know, it's kind of prevalent now in comic books because we've been dealing with the conversation of suicide, that, you know, suicide is never really the answer. So to like be hexed, I guess, and not being able to do that is like, what conversation is he going to try to spin out of that of just like, you know, life is worth living. Like if you can have enough time to see that.
Yeah. Or, you would at least hope that that's the ultimate lesson of this thing. Right?
I don't want it to be like a goof of just like,
which I'm sure it is. But when you just read the synopsis of it, it just sounds pretty like,
yeah,
blunt, and like it's using it as a,
yeah,
a gimmick.
We'll see. Pete, good luck on that one.
But you're right. There's some things that just like, we need to talk about mental health more.
Yeah.
And maybe comics like this get more people to talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. And that's,
because ultimately the,
a good
the,
thing. I don't know.
The, with this, you can kind of predict the end of the book, which is like, they learn a life lesson at the end and no longer want to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Right. You would hope.
Yeah, but you don't want a character that's just portrayed as like, this character's really cool and someone I like empathize with, and they're just like relentlessly trying to kill themselves.
Yeah. It, like,
despite their immortality.
Yes. We'll see what happens from that.
Yes, yeah.
Because I'm...
Let me say, I'm not... I went into this, I think, sounding maybe too judgy. I don't know what the book is or it's going to be. Just big trigger warning and big tiptoe into that one.
Well, it's not judgy. It's just like when someone has like an alternative take on how to handle the situation of suicide or something like big mental health thing, and it sounds like a slightly off askew take on a very heavy situation. You do kind of look at it just like, oh, let's hold on. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit to see what you're going to be talking about here. So who knows what's going to happen with it? Yep.
A couple ones I want to rapid fire.
Okay.
That I think also might be worth looking at. The Valiants is like Valiant's version of the Avengers.
Hard pass.
The Valiant Reverse is rebooting this summer, my guy. Okay. Yeah. They got their heads on straight and they're going to fix it.
You're talking about Valiant's big summer event?
They're going to fix it.
They
have all the AI artists hired. They're going to fix it. Oh, the poor bastards. No.
The Cursed Library Prelude from Archie Horror.
Ooh, hell yeah, I'm in.
I thought Cursed Library Prelude was about Valiant Comics.
Got him. Flash Gordon number 0 on Mad Cave.
Oh, yeah, so they also got Flash Gordon.
Yep.
That's right.
Free Comic Book Day 2024 Marvel Voices.
It's about a Glee Club?
The Voices one, I'm wondering if that's new content or if it's just going to reprint some Voices stuff.
I don't know.
This time it's for the baritones.
Marvel's also doing a Star Wars Free Comic Book Day issue.
Okay. Is it another Visions book?
No. Okay. This is like Luke, Darth Vader mainline stuff.
Give me that mainline and my mainline.
There's a Doctor Who 15th Doctor book coming out from Titan.
Oh, well.
There's a Conan the Barbarian Battle of the Blackstone.
Oh, well.
Titan. New Far Cry book.
This is why I stopped my list when I did.
No, because there's a couple of gems you missed.
There's a new Far Cry book that is out on Tokyopop.
Andy, stop.
Street Fighter versus Final Fight.
I will read that.
What's Final Fight?
It's another fighting game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tim Seeley, I'm pretty sure it's Tim Seeley, is going to be writing Udon's Final Fight ongoing.
Shit.
Yeah, they're doing their first like Final Fight comic.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is...
I do love
this. He writes the Darkstalkers.
I love
those. Like, weird one-shots.
I love the Darkstalkers Street Fighter stuff. I think the covers are rad.
Yeah, man.
I think the interiors are fun. That is one of my guilty pleasures.
I talked about this, I think, last week with Mike D. I covered Ryu versus Akuma, and I've been wanting to get into the Street Fighter comics forever.
Yeah.
But I can't find those Street Fighter Unlimited hardcovers at like a decent price.
Good luck.
Yeah.
The Street Fighters versus TMNT was super slapidocious. Yeah. It was good.
Super good.
It was so good.
That trade's out right now.
Get it while you can, folks. Any other news?
That's the news.
That's the news. Or as we call them, announcements.
That's the announcements.
Now back to homeroom.
This concludes the announcements for today.
Before we get into comic books, a couple of housekeeping things. We are headed to C2E2 next week, and Andy and I will be doing a panel with the Oblivion Bar podcast and the Shortbox podcast on Friday at 11:30 a.m.
So we pre-apologize to those other two
We promise to only say one curse apiece. We will be giving more details on our social medias about where to find us, what room, all that. So if you're in Chicago, come by, say hello. We'll be happy to meet you.
A crisp high five for each patron. Patreon.
Yeah. Yep. We also have a Patreon, speaking of.
Yes.
Patreon.com/FirstIssueClub. If you like this and want to see more, go over there. We have many tiers for you to choose from for any conscious nerd on a budget. All social medias, we have them. We're also on YouTube. Now we can get into the comic portion.
Hell yeah. Who wants to go first?
I'll go really quickly. I read the Thor Roxxon one shot. It was very committed to the bit.
In a good way?
Have you been reading Thor?
Yes.
Okay.
So like I knew what was happening.
You have the context for it, yeah.
And I imagine Al Ewing had an absolute blast writing this.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was so on the nose and like to see this Roxxon version of Thor, and Greg Land had a great time drawing all this like weird stuff. Like it was very cool. But like after a while, and this was a big book, after a while, the bit got sour. Like it was
you
just.
Think so?
It was just like kind of like okay.
I've seen so much praise for this online.
It was maybe then it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was just like, okay, where are we going? And it was like it was very committed to the Roxxon Thor bit.
Uh-huh.
Not saying like the Immortal Thor stuff right now is fantastic, and this was like a nice little nugget to encapsulate with that story going on right now. But could have been a shorter story for me.
Okay.
And that's all I read this week, to be honest. Wasn't many first issues out.
Yeah.
They're pretty light on firsties this week.
As we call them. Yep. Announcements, firsties.
That's our slang.
Mike Dean,
I didn't get to any comics this week, unfortunately.
Well, I only read two, so I'll stretch these out to fill the episode.
From Dark Horse.
Yeah, Dark Horse. I read the new Scott Snyder book, Dudley Datson and the Forever Machine.
Okay.
That
sounds like a Hanna-Barbera show.
Well, yeah, so I picked it up because it's a Scott Snyder book.
Mm-hmm.
But this very much reads like a YA kind of adventure book.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this kid, and he's like kind of an inventor, and he gets pulled into this secret society of inventors by this little dog who is actually the Greek inventor Daedalus, the guy who like created the Minotaur's
time machine.
No,
oh.
He created the labyrinth.
Oh, gotcha.
And the wings
with David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah.
he taught him how to do the. Little
just dance
hand.
Put on
the glass ball juggling.
Yes, he was famous trainer of the Goblin King.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing babies.
But he gets pulled into this like secret society, and there's a a plot to like end the world. That
is everyone else dogs?
No,
just him.
It's just him, and it's actually.
Hey man, is everyone dogs? Hey man,
is everyone dogs?
That sounds.
This is Dark Horse's
like
new summer event.
I like
all dogs.
Dogverse.
All dogs.
They
go to
all
comics.
Dogs. All dogs go to comics.
But yeah, it's a kind of a YA leaning adventure book.
Yeah.
It was nice and crisp, nice and fun.
That's cool to see Scott Snyder do like a fun YA
something
book.
That isn't just
really
terrifying
dark
to read.
Yeah.
This is definitely something that you could, I think, again, read alongside like a 10 to 15 year old and mm-hmm. have like a lot of fun reading together. I don't know that adults will get like a lot out of it, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good read, and it's a big, great, big, thick boy. There's like the first two chapters in this book for, you know, $5.
And it has a favorite thing of yours.
And it does have the foil cover.
Yeah.
Or the foil logo. I do love that. So
those little touches go a long way.
Gold flourish.
So it was a cool book.
Oh, Blow Away.
Yeah, I also read Blow Away, the new Zach Thompson book
out on Blue. This cover is great.
Yeah, it's the B cover. We are on video if anybody wants to see it.
Ooh la la.
Video.
So I picked this up because I am trained as a horror fan to see a snowy landscape and anticipate
a Cthulhu creature.
Cthulhu, correct, coming out of a mountain. And this is not that. So
it's a cliffhanger sequel?
It is far more akin to cliffhanger.
Oh, is it really?
It really is.
I'm trying to get out of this cliff.
Hey, where's that Cthulhu at?
There's too much rock ahead of
me. No!
Cthulhu!
It's more of like a whodunit.
I'm shocked that you started this Stallone impression.
That's true.
You went off the rails.
That's true. He's a noise boy today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did have two beers.
That's true.
So the story is about this girl who's trying to film some like rare bird hatching on this, I think it's Canadian mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of isolated and out there, and she like sees this hunter through her camera and sees these people climbing a mountain on her camera. But the inciting incident is she sees these two climbers get to the summit, and then there's some sort of altercation between the two of them. And then they appear to fall off the mountain, and she goes to investigate and can't find them. But there's also like a polar bear poacher that is kind of stalking her
throughout this
book. So there's a lot of like, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are these people fighting when they've like just climbed a mountain together? You know, they clearly trust each other.
Right.
Why is this guy, you know, hunting polar bear on this mountain? That whole thing.
So, this sounds awesome. This is my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Can I say about Zach Thompson too?
Incredible writer.
It's one of those people where every time he has a comic come out, I'm like, is this the one that it's like,
it should be,
everyone's going to be talking about it for the next month? This, like, because I feel like he's written a lot of amazing sci-fi sort of books.
Yeah.
And, every book's a heater.
But none of them, I feel like, get kind of the energy and steam behind them that maybe they deserve. Like, well, you know, like just like everybody was talking about Beneath the Trees for like,
yeah,
a couple months after that first issue. Like, he hasn't had that happen yet. And he's going to have that at some point. You're going to say Port of Earth?
No. Beneath the Trees is good.
Yeah.
The reason that book popped off is because it was, A, gorgeous, and B, it was like a weird premise of, like, anthropomorphic animals killing each other. Yeah. Like, that'll get you a lot of buzz. Like, that. I don't want to say gimmick. That's not a gimmick.
Yeah.
But, like, Zach Thompson is a fundamental hit maker, an incredible storyteller. Like,
well,
I always grab his books.
So the
always
the other difference though is like Zach Thompson's books are far more intricate than like, oh, Dexter and Richard Scarry.
Yes.
Like, I could not give you an elevator pitch for what Blow Away is.
Although we all just did a Stallone impression.
Yeah, but it's not cliffhanger.
That's
like
true. That's true.
I loved Lonely Receiver.
The Dregs. Oh my God, the Dregs were so
was
good.
Cool.
Kazar, am I right?
Yeah. Am I right? Nature's Labyrinth.
Dude, I breathe the body.
Breathe the body.
Now we're just
great.
Reading Zach Thomas books. The Cemetery Kids Don't Die is a book that more people should be talking about.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I was wrong when I said Port of Earth. That was Zach Kaplan.
That was Zach Kaplan.
I think
you cad.
If this book could get adapted by like a Netflix or something, you cast Sydney Sweeney or whatever as the girl, and it's just like a murder mystery on a mountain. Yeah. Obviously, I don't know where the rest of this book's going to go. I guess there could be a Cthulhu.
It could be a Cthulhu. Come on, Zach, give us a Cthulhu.
Oh, he did that the Hunt for the Skinwalker comic too.
Yes.
Did he do X-Men Black? The Emma Frost.
He did
issue?
A story in there.
Okay.
With Scott Aukerman. Hey, Nogman.
Scott Aukerman wrote the Mojo one.
Yeah.
Which I have an original page from.
Oh. I thought it said Scott Aukerman right there. Oh, because X-Men Black is in the
X-Men,
series of
X-Men
the,
Black yeah, yeah. is a series yeah. of one shots.
Yep.
Don't try to correct me.
Jesus Christ, here
X-Men.
We go. All right. Or yeah. Scott Aukerman. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Blow Away is really good. It's not what I thought it was going to be, because again, I was trained to think that there was going to be a Cthulhu, and there was not. But
yeah.
if you're in the mood for like a murder mystery, definitely pick it up. And potentially trade weight it, I'll say.
Andy, can I ask you something?
You just did.
Ooh. you're one of these guys. I can put my hand on this type of guy. I feel like you're somebody who buys the cover you like.
That is correct.
And not necessary, because this is my hindrance as a Smaug of a comic book collector. That
you buy the most valuable one?
I'm always like, I like the B cover better, but the A cover is always the one to have.
Oh, I have been burned on that.
And then when I buy the yeah. B cover, it's like, of course, that's the one that's now like a big hit and everyone wants the A cover. Your thoughts, Andy. Are you're committed still?
Yeah.
I've moved on and I'm now just like, I'm always going to buy the A cover every time if I can. If I've got to have the B cover, I'll buy it in addition to the A cover.
No, I don't. I can't afford that anymore.
Yeah.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll still do that for like major books that I know, like I buy every copy of Moon Knight that I can get.
Yeah.
But, you know, stuff like this, if it ends up being like a cool book, I just have to accept the fact that I got burned and didn't buy the A cover.
Yeah.
I'm with Andy. I buy the one that like speaks to me the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I got lucky with Beneath the Trees. I didn't buy the like storybook cover.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
well, then we got extra lucky because someone got us the Con exclusive cover.
That's yeah, true. That's right.
Mr. Mike D.
Our boy hooked us up.
Ow!
The Wolfman.
I
Wolfman the Noise Boys.
These are the this that's the right answer, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's not what I prescribe to.
Right.
It's tough.
Unfortunately. It is tough.
Because
after you get burnt by it a couple times,
yeah.
it's like, oh, I have the fun Howard the Duck variant of like
yep.
some like of like Spider Gwen's first appearance, and it's like, oh, this one's $5, the other one's like $900.
Yeah.
Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Why do I have to love Howard the Duck so much?
Well, even in I've got the Jenny Frizzin cover of Something Is Killing the Children number one. I think that one is like a incentive cover too, but that cover sells for like a fifth or a sixth of what the A cover sells for. You
yeah.
can buy that in a 9.8 for like $100. A 9.8 of the A cover is like $700.
Nice.
Brutal.
Yeah, it sucks, but I have to maintain the ability for me to say I buy comics so that I can read them and enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not the guy who goes in and like pulls up at least when I'm looking at new books.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Well, I just don't pull
enjoying them the way they're supposed to be enjoyed.
It just,
well, here's my thing too. I don't go to the shop being like, this is the comic
the spec book of the
yeah
week.
That's yeah. not the spec book this week, and I'm not selling my comics. But I do, when I think back on my collection, it would be nice to flip through it and be like, these are all the covers I've curated for myself because
yeah.
this is the sort of thing that I like, and it's fun to go back through it. Like, that's one way to look at it. And the other way to look at it is, man, I've spent so much money on comics throughout the course of my life. My saving grace is that I was buying A covers, and every once in a while now I have a $500 comic.
Right.
I mean, I guess that still happens to me though.
Yeah.
You know, even though I've, whatever.
And we've talked about it before. It used to be
the variants were what you wanted.
The variant was the...
There was a while there where I was just like, if there's a variant available, I'm picking it up because they're cooler, weirder artists that are doing something different. The trade dress maybe isn't as bothersome on it. Like, they just looked cool.
Right.
And then there was just this shift that I was really late to. There is an era of comics now that are worth money that I just have trash covers for.
Oh, no. All Howard the Duck. Saga number one, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck variant. Yeah. That's another one that's like really hard to get in a 9.8 because it's all white cover. Yeah.
I don't know what mine is.
Those are tough.
When I was picking up Blow Away, I was like, I like this cover, but the first thing I was like, it's a fucking white cover.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
It looks really nice for a white cover.
Yeah.
Did you look at the spine?
Oh, you have some markings on it.
Yeah. They all looked like that.
Yeah.
That's such a great cover, though.
This stuff off with an eraser.
Yeah.
You just got to really gently back and
forth. And he just uses the eraser and erases the whole cover.
Oh, it's a blank.
It's a real blow away cover.
What's the stuff? Absorbing is the stuff that like professionals use.
Absorbing.
You can buy these like little kind of bags called that are filled with absorbing, and then you gently like roll them over stuff and they take off. Yeah. Debris and pencil marks.
We should have an ASMR channel where we absorb bean comics.
Yeah.
For Peyton. Yeah. Rub our fingernails on.
I've watched, you can go on, if you do have a dirty cover of something that's like just scratches here and there.
A real nasty cover.
I got some Vampirellas.
A real filthy bitch.
That's, I'm going to continue.
Me absorbing those covers, you know what I mean?
That's not worth anything. You can, I've watched great videos on YouTube of people cleaning them up and tried it myself. And you'd be surprised at what like an eraser can do.
Yeah, for sure.
Some comics look amazing after just like a quick touch up.
Does that count as restored?
No.
Just like a lot of eraser marks.
Yeah, a lot of the restoration places make like a big to do about like the things that will do to your comic will not count as restorative.
The things we do to your comic will haunt your dreams.
You would not believe.
You should be paying us more for the things that we're about to do to your comic.
I feel like the things that get restored and people don't care so much are the like massively like Batman number one or like something like that, where it's like the gatefold was missing, so we married one in from another copy to complete it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you graded that, it'd be a purple label, but it's like, who cares? It's a pristine copy with like a pristine page moved from one issue to the other that was like missing a cover.
Sure. It's all right.
Sold. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
$1.
Discounted rate. All right. We also, Greg and I, are going to be
at TowerCon.
This weekend. Kansas City's greatest pea-sized convention at Tower Tavern. So if you want to say hey to us, pop in. We don't know if we're going to just be like hanging out, doing a thing.
I'm coming loaded with buttons and stickers.
Okay.
And
so
in the
off
chance we have a table, just to sit at.
And if you just see us, ask us for stuff.
Don't you dare approach me.
Don't touch Greg. Rule number one.
You don't touch the Greg.
I will scream at you and throw my beer in your face. Get away from him.
One year we should bring velvet ropes to TowerCon to like line our booth. Just be like, next. Do you have a fast pass?
Like, wind like snake people through.
Yes, and it's very like, small convention.
No,
there's like
in
velvet
line.
Ropes all over the place.
We need to Photoshop you into like a cast photo of something and just see if we can get people to come up to you and just be like,
actually, that would be really fun. We all do different headshots.
Yes.
And like,
I loved Rogue Planet. Who were you in it?
Battlestar Galactica. It's like, I was the voice of the robot.
No, dude, go bigger. Greg is, instead of Tom Hanks' face in
Big
Forrest Gump,
oh,
it's Greg on the bench.
I played Wilson in Castaway. Yeah.
I was the inspiration for Wilson. Like, take off my like big sunglasses. Huh? Huh? Can you see it? My last name's Voight.
You just have celery and like stick it up to your head.
Well, like a red hand mark on my face.
You see it now? Wilson! So TowerCon will be fun.
Yeah. If you're in Kansas City and you want to come hang out, we'll be at TowerCon.
Yeah.
It's free. Free.
And the food at Tower Tavern's great. Just don't get the food too close to the comics, please.
Yeah. Got to keep them safe. Mike, lead us out of here.
Goodbye.
Cthulhu.
First Issue Club is edited and produced by Mike DeStacy, Greg Lichtig, and Andy Vargas. Follow us on social media at First Issue Club and check out our Patreon for videos, audio, and more at patreon.com/firstissueclub.